Welcome back to A Homemaker's Manifesto, the podcast. My name is Issa, and I'm so happy to have you here today. Thank you for listening and being here. If you are listening for the first time, real quick, please give me a follow, subscribe to my Substack page, A Homemaker's Manifesto. A lot of people don't know what Substack is. Substack is a publishing platform for independent writers like myself. It's really cool though, because we can publish, you know, podcasts like this and articles. I have a book club going on over there where we have discussion threads. There's also a subscriber chat where we can chat. And I also have premium subscriptions. So that is how, you know, rather than relying on the big tech infrastructure to support my work, I can get supported directly by my readers, which is really fun and cool. So I will put a subscription for that in the show notes to this episode. You can subscribe for free and get my free articles and chats and things like that. Or if you'd like to support my work and get access to much more, go ahead and become a premium subscriber. It is just $5 a month or $50 a year. So I would really appreciate that support if you would like to have it. If you want a discount for the annual subscription, go ahead and shoot me a DM on Instagram where I am, A Homemaker's Manifesto, or you can leave a comment here if you're not on Instagram, and I will shoot you one there. So today I am so excited to be chatting with my very good friend, Allison. She has an amazing testimony, one that I relate a lot to in some ways. In other ways, you know, we have kind of a different journey, but she and I, you're going to hear so much about, we have so much in common, and I just really share a heart to minister to women and just glorify God's design for women. And that is why we have joined forces to create the Women's Mentorship Community, Liberated Surrender. So this is a new community. It is a very unique community of its kind. There are a lot of mentorship and coaching groups out there for kind of like femininity, masculinity, things like that. We wanted to create one that begins and ends with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we strongly believe, as you will hear us discuss at length, that the key to embracing your design as a woman, to growing in your relationship with, you know, other human beings of all kinds, but definitely, you know, husbands and future husbands, just what the New Age calls healing masculine wounds or things like that. I'm not as familiar with all of this vocabulary, but it is interesting that it is largely a non-Christian community that discusses these things. However, as Allison will share, it is only through the Christian faith, the biblical truth, you know, that's this objective truth of the Word of God, that we can really understand what it means to be a woman, and we can make peace with the devastation that was caused by the fall and the discord that exists so commonly between men and women, that in the 20th century has been turned into very prominent ideology. So we're going to talk about all of that at length. I really hope you will enjoy our conversation. And real quick, I just wanted to get it out of the way before we dive in, because if you're listening and you're like, I really want to join this community, you can find a link to do that in the show notes, or go to liberatedsurrender.substack.com. Now, it is a private community, so it's a little tricky. You are going to have to enter in your email address to request access to the site, and then we will approve you, and then you'll get an email that will walk you through how you can complete your registration. So we have early bird rates right now. Unfortunately, it is not free to host a community like this, but you get a lot out of it. We wanted to go. A lot of times people charge a lot of money for these kind of communities. We wanted to go ahead and start with pretty inexpensive early bird rates, so that, and these are locked in. This will be your rate for as long as you want to be part of the group. $50 a month or $500 a year, I would go ahead and recommend the monthly. That's probably what everybody wants to do. And that is absolutely fine. $50 a month, as long as you want to be part of the community. And if you have any trouble at all, sometimes the welcome email will go to like promotions or spam or whatever, a different tab than your main inbox. So if you have any issues at all, go ahead and leave a comment here or shoot one of us a DM on Instagram. I am a Homemaker's Manifesto. Allison is a Devotional Heart. So we will help you out there. You can also probably email us through Substack. I'm not sure how that works exactly. It's not super straightforward. So yeah, go ahead and leave a comment here or send a DM if you have any issues whatsoever, or we look forward to seeing you in the group. We have meetings every other Friday on Zoom, and our next meeting is coming up this Friday. So we would love to have you there if you would like to be a part of this wonderful community. Otherwise, you know, whether or not you're interested in joining the community, I know you're going to love our conversation about, you know, just connecting with our femininity as women who fear the Lord. So without further ado, let's dive in.
Hey, Allison.
Hello. How are you, Issa?
I'm good. How are you? I'm so happy to be doing this. It's been a long time coming, and we made it.
I know. We've had so many conversations about everything we're going to be talking about today. So this
yes.
is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, I'm so excited. All right. So I would like to just dive right into your testimony and background, how you discovered, you know, polarity and feminine communication and what you do to work with women. And then we'll share with everybody how we're joining forces to support women together. But yeah, why don't you just tell us about you?
Okay. So I'm just going to assume that everybody listening has no idea who I am. I'll start from the very beginning, because I have shared a lot about my story on Instagram and on my YouTube channel, but I'm going to pretend that every single person is a new person coming to learn about us and what we're doing with this project. So from the very beginning, I was not raised Christian. I was very attracted to witchy kind of things very early. And mind you, I am 48 years old. So we're going back here down to like the 80s. Okay. And there were no yoga studios. There were no real like witchy bookstores or things like that. And I found my first book on witchcraft at the public library.
Wow.
And I devoured it and just like tried to find as many things related to witchcraft and Wicca and paganism as I possibly could. I thought it was really beautiful to worship the earth. And mm-hmm. that to me was femininity, being a goddess. And as I became a teenager and in my early 20s, that was my spiritual path. I didn't read the Bible. I actually did everything I could to stay away from Christians in the Bible, because I thought it was so oppressive and patriarchal and awful. Mm-hmm. And oh, who would want to be a Christian? It's like I thought it was the weakest form of spirituality anybody could possibly choose, because you're just believing things that men tell you to believe. And that's so limiting and awful and terrible. So I was a goddess, and I surrounded myself with other ladies who thought they were goddesses too. And I'm not saying anything to be judgmental toward my old friends or mm-hmm. even women out there today who are attracted to witchcraft, because I really understand why. I understand the pull, and I understand that they think it gives them some kind of control over their lives and manifesting, you know, like having an idea mm-hmm. of something that you want and then telling the moon what you want, and then the next day it appears, and all this kind of stuff I accepted as being perfectly logical, and like this is just how spiritual people are, and they take psychedelics and mm-hmm. commune with spirits. And I never did any channeling, but I definitely accepted it as something normal, and to get information from spirits who I now understand are demons. And so I was really into yoga, really into Eastern religions, and the idea that we are all one and we are each just little pieces of consciousness understanding itself through relationships and life, and that there's reincarnation and that we'll always get another chance to purify our karma and keep ascending, right? This whole idea that if you're a spiritual person, the next life you have, you're going to be even more spiritually enlightened until you reach enlightenment. So in 2020, I was led to pick up a Bible, and I was immediately convicted. It was one of those stories you hear where people didn't believe in Christianity, didn't believe in Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden instantly were converted. I was kind of one of those people, but I didn't start going to church for another year or so after that. I was just really wanting to read the Bible. I did a lot of studying online, like on YouTube, and didn't really meet people in person that I could talk about Christianity with. And then all of a sudden on Instagram, I started meeting people and I started my YouTube channel. And it's just been the most beautiful. I mean, the last 3 years of my life, Issa, this is no exaggeration, they are by far, in a way, the most beautiful years of my life. My marriage is better than ever by far, which we'll get into because it has a big role to play in the work that I do with women. And you asked about how did I learn about polarity? Well, there are a lot of new age books and teachers teaching about polarity. But you know what I found is that Christianity is actually the closest to true polarity that there is. And there's truth in everything. You know, everybody can use truth to better their lives and not call it Christianity. But our Lord is the originator of goodness. Everything that is healing, everything that is good is through Christ. So the way I see it is a lot of the people that practice New Age polarity just haven't discovered Christianity yet. And when they do, all the pieces will fit together. Because if you ever read any content, especially on Facebook, there's one polarity group that I follow that's not a Christian group, but it's very interesting because the non-Christians have the most resistance to these teachings of polarity. And the Christians get it because we already have the word telling us how God made men and women different and what our roles are. And so we'll get all into that. But as I became a Christian, because I already knew about polarity, it became more and more natural. So when I say it became more and more natural, what I mean is submitting to my husband as I deepened in my faith with the Lord became easy. It wasn't, there's no resistance anymore. I mean, of course, now and then my old wounding around following someone rather than being the one in control comes up. And so that's the beautiful thing about polarity, is that when we're practicing feminine communication and we're practicing learning how to not be in control all the time, our marriages just start to get easier. But we're also healing those old parts that do pop up from childhood, those times in our childhood when we didn't get our needs met, we didn't feel loved, we felt rejected. There's little pieces of that history that we hold in our nervous system that come up so that we can heal them, so that we can have the self-awareness to say, you know what, that happened to me in my childhood. My husband is not my father. He's not trying to, you know, he's not correcting me because there's something wrong with me or because he doesn't love me. He's actually correcting me because he is my leader in the way that he's showing me how to live without having to be in control all the time. Because Issa, it is exhausting to think that you are in control of your life, of other people, of circumstances, of events. And so the last 3 years of my life, as I've deepened into my faith and learned what true submission is, I've experienced the most freedom I've ever experienced. I wake up happy. My husband and I are so connected. We never argue. And if things do feel kind of uncomfortable with our communication, we now have the tools to navigate that rather than it turning into a big fight or ignoring each other for 3 days or these old patterns that we used to have before I became a Christian and before I really understood what polarity was. So the work that I do with my clients is mostly based on what I've learned by trial and error after 20 years of marriage and the tools and skills that I've acquired through mostly, I would say, the last 5 years, but most intensively through the last 3 years. And I'm teaching or sharing with my clients how to speak in a way that inspires masculine devotion, masculine provision, that doesn't make him feel judged, blamed, shamed, that it opens up communication so that it doesn't just devolve into ignoring each other or turning into a big fight. And that's just one of the ways that I work with women, but we'll talk more about all the different things. But first I wanted to ask you, did everything I said make sense?
If yeah, oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh. As usual, talking to you, you just said so many things that bless me so much and you inspire me so much. And this is obviously why we're working together, just because you have such a wonderful heart. I mean, God has really just orchestrated your life and blessed you with this passion and understanding and just the path that he's given you. I first of all want to say that I think we should record an entirely separate podcast on New Age stuff because just that alone, I'm like, there's so much to talk about. Yeah. And, you know, for those listening who might not know, I grew up in the Bay Area. I'm 37. So when I was growing up, there were yoga studios everywhere. And the New Age was, it was a very prominent backdrop to my life. In part because I actually went to a school growing up that was founded by Rudolf Steiner, who was the protege of Helena Blavatsky, who is known as the mother of the New Age. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do not know who she is, won't recognize New Age philosophy as it shows up in popular culture. But even though, you know, it probably wasn't super prominent culturally in the 80s, it had still influenced a lot. Because in the 60s, there was a lot of, you know, it was kind of novel. And but then you go back even further in the 20s and the 30s when people were doing seances and stuff. So right. Yeah, this is why we should probably just, you know, maybe in a couple of months do a whole other podcast just talking about the New Age and stuff, because I just relate a lot to that. Just basically being raised with a kind of New Age adjacent worldview in a way. Right. But I would love to hear you explain a little bit more about how Christian polarity is, or Christianity is the best context in which to understand polarity. Could you define a little bit, like, what, give us kind of a good working definition of polarity, and then expand on how, you know, the context of our faith, the Christian faith, is the most accurate way to understand polarity, if I phrase that right.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to keep it very simple. I try to keep all of my content pretty straightforward and simple. Mm-hmm. And so the best way and the most simple way that I can describe polarity is recognizing the differences, the innate differences that God created within us, not just physically and physiologically, but the characteristics and roles that God gave men and women. They're different. And modern culture wants to make men and women the same. And in New Age polarity, there's a lot of talk of two things that irritate me so much, but they're so common. And they are, one is the divine masculine and the divine feminine. This idea that men and women, human men and women, can be divine. And Jesus Christ is the only perfect man.
Mm-hmm.
And in Eastern religion, there's the yin and the yang, and they balance mm-hmm. each other. So you'll see a lot of New Age polarity teachers talking about, oh, you need to integrate your divine masculine. You need to integrate your, you know, we have both. And the whole process of evolution and enlightenment is to be both, have the masculine and the feminine. So what happens in these kinds of relationships, and you'll see this in New Age culture, and I do not mean to be stereotyping New Age people. This is my experience. I was in this world for almost mm-hmm. three decades. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a lot of marriage. And when I did, I didn't see a lot of happy marriages where the man was 100% in the masculine role of provision, provider, protector. And the female was in the role of receiver, but also nurturer and the follower to the man's mm-hmm. leadership. You really don't see that. Of course, it has a lot to do with the role of feminism in New Age culture, but I'm just talking about a healthy relationship. For me, a healthy relationship is where the woman is not working full time, exhausting herself, coming, oh, excuse me, but my cat has hyperthyroidism and she meows really loud, so I apologize.
I didn't hear it hardly at all.
Okay, you might hear if she comes a little closer, but so the what you see in our culture is that women are exhausted coming home and they still need to run to the store before they come home, get all the food, mm-hmm. make the food and clean the house, and that to this culture is 50-50, and that's healthy mm-hmm. to them in their concept of what a healthy relationship is. Well, these relationships are not sustainable. There's nothing sustainable about a woman who, yes, I know that there are women who are boss babes and they love it and they get a lot of energy from it and they feel great, but I don't think it's sustainable for their nervous system, their mm-hmm. lymphatic system, their digestive system, mm-hmm. their whole bodies eventually are not going to be able to sustain that. And their natural instinct to be provided for and protected and loved and cherished and adored is not being met. That's mm-hmm. a need. It's a natural need that God created for women, and men feel so good when mm-hmm. they can provide that for a woman. It's their mm-hmm. natural instinctual drive to provide, not just financially and in the physical realm, but mm-hmm. provide for her heart too. And so I didn't see a lot of that in New Age culture, and I don't see that being emphasized in New Age polarity teachings. And I also don't see polarized communication being emphasized, which for me is the key mm-hmm. to this, to the biblical polarity concept. And I'm always being asked, are there any books about this? Where can I learn about this? And there aren't, there really yeah, aren't. And I'm yeah. really hoping to write one day.
I but know
all what I've found that the Bible, mm-hmm. you know what, Issa, the closest thing I found was a book that you recommended to me called The Excellent Wife by mm-hmm. Martha Peace.
Yeah.
And it's not about polarity. She never says the word yeah, polarity, but she yeah. quotes from scripture on almost every page.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend this book because if women listening right now want to understand submission and they want to understand God's plan for men and women, get this book because mm-hmm. she quotes from Romans, Thessalonians, practically every book in the New Testament, mm-hmm. she, and even in the Old Testament too,
mm-hmm.
she's quoting and substantiating this truth that mm-hmm. men and women are different. Men are wonderful leaders. They are created to lead, to provide and protect for us. And women were created to give birth, which if we did not do this, we will have no population.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful role for women to be a wife and a mother. And mm-hmm. my passion in life is to restore that to our society, because everywhere I look, it's being destroyed and inverted, and it just makes me so sad, but
mm-hmm.
I think that answered your question, let me know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that. I love too that you liked that book, because that for years I've read many, many books on Christian marriage as far as being a wife, you know, submitting to your husband. And that is the one book that I consistently recommend because it is so, like, just like you said, every single page is full of scripture, and she contextualizes submitting to your husband within the whole of the Christian faith, which is honestly, unfortunately, can be rare because, like for me, in my experience being a Christian for almost 13 years, I've been married for 12 and a half years. I went into marriage having read, you know, Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, wives submit to your husbands. So I have a similar story to yours in a really different kind of order and time frame. But I was fully on board with submitting to my husband, but merely being given the information, submit to your husband. For me, it was so attached to do something, do this. And I had very few tools for, I was kind of trying to build on a faulty foundation, whereas I was not, up until very recently, probably in the same, like, last 3 years, going, you know, God kind of broke me and brought me back to brass tacks as far as going to him for full healing. You know, I was thinking this when you were talking, just in your, you know, your own experience and what Christ can do in our lives today. We our faith hopes for that full eternal salvation. And, you know, that is what we put our faith in. That's what it means to follow Christ, is to fully believe that he has done that work. The victory has been won. We have not, you know, gotten to that point yet where he's come back and established, you know, that final eternal kingdom. But he also provides us with healing now. He is the all-encompassing cure to the fall. And the fall is very much has everything to do with men and women. I mean, Adam and Eve are at the center of the creation story. The fact that they were created male and female, that Eve was Adam's wife. I mean, it's like we get stuck on Ephesians 5 and we don't go back to Genesis 3. And I just love that. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. Just this amazing story, grand narrative, throughout all of human history that God has given us to equip us to deal with, you know, everything in the world. And when we are looking at, as I believe Christians across the board look at what this Bible, what the New Testament text says about wives submitting to your husbands. And we look at that with a very narrow lens. You know, we're not looking at that in the whole of the Christian faith and the whole meta narrative of scripture, which goes from Genesis all the way to Revelation, both the fall and what that did to our relationships between men and women, which is all human beings are either male or female. You know, Genesis 1:27 says that. And then the way that God restores those relationships, and it is through his ways. And we often, you know, this is my story of the last 3 years, and a lot of big revelation and experience I've had as far as seeing how he just restores that relationship, and it is not merely in a vacuum. Submit to your husband, as opposed to mainstream feminism, like stay at home and let your husband make all the big decisions, and boom, that's submitting to your husband. It is so much deeper than that. Obviously, you know, those are wonderful manifestations of our respect for our husband and thus submission to God. And, you know, as a homemaker's manifesto, obviously I'm all about these traditional roles that can be very offensive to the worldly understanding of men and women. But it is I think the piece that I was missing in my own life, in my own marriage, was submission is not a role that you assume. You know, I think despite on a cultural and political and ideological level, rejecting feminism over a decade ago, the spiritual feminism of, sort of assuming that we're the same, that I was just, oh, I'm a woman. I am going to, okay, the Bible says wives submit to your husbands. Okay, I'll do that. And then here I am struggling with that and expecting something out of that that it is not meant to provide, which is, fixing your husband. That's not the point. But it is kind of a paradox that when, I think one of the things that you share so much that is so valuable is just being kind to your husband, following your husband, assuming that role that we were designed for without expecting an outcome.
Yeah.
And it's ironic because when we love our husbands that way, when we position our hearts towards them, the dynamic changes so much. So
yeah.
It's like you do get the outcome, but not because of your work, not because
right.
you assume this role, you perform
mm-hmm.
this function that fixes things,
right.
but because you are falling back into how God created the two of you, husband and wife, to be to each other,
right.
And I
yeah.
just, yeah, it's just, it's so beautiful. And it is so much richer than just, be at home, stay at home, don't get a job.
Mm-hmm.
These things are so, there's so much commentary to be given, as I do all the time, about the importance of women at home, of, what it looks like to practically respect and submit to your husband on a daily basis. But I think what is so wonderful about what you teach and share is that this, it does go down. I don't like using the word energy because it's so aligned with New Age, but
yeah.
it's almost kind of difficult because it is a spiritual thing. Maybe there's kind of older vocabulary we could find to refer to this, but that, I think polarity refers to something much deeper than simply, oh, yes, husband, I shall do as you say
yeah.
and make your dinner. It is, again, how, yeah, your communicate, how you are communicating with
yeah.
your husband, how you're
mm-hmm.
choosing your words, how you're
mm-hmm.
behaving, literally softening your body. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it makes it's a couple of years ago, I would have been like, what?
Yeah.
What is this? This is New Age, nonsense. But it's not, the New Age people, just like every other false religion, they see echoes of truth, because truth is truth no matter who observes it or who repeats it.
Mm-hmm.
God constrained the universe and our forms, our spiritual and physical bodies, according to, his wisdom and truth. So New Age people are observing something that is very real. And I do think that up until very recently, that the Christian culture sort of took this for granted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I wouldn't even use the word polarity, except that there really aren't that many other options. But
yeah.
I do love to speak about feminine restoration. And you had
mm-hmm.
mentioned the restoration of the relationship of man and woman. And
mm-hmm.
I don't mentor or coach men. I just don't think it's my place. I might
mm-hmm.
find a way to do that at some point, but right now it's just not interesting to me. So I'm only working with women. But I wanted to let your audience know that I created a visual graphic that could maybe help
mm-hmm.
Explain my system. I mean, it's not
mm-hmm.
really my system. It's just the one that works for me in my life and is helpful for my clients. So if anybody wants to check it out, it's on both of my Instagram accounts, Cherished and Adored and A Devotional Heart. And I posted it on July 10th, and it's called Keys to Feminine Restoration.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to point out that this will help also answer the other question you had earlier regarding the difference between biblical submission or biblical polarity and New Age polarity, because Christ is the center of everything I do, everything I share, my whole life, and the work I do with my clients. So when your listeners will see this graphic, it will kind of explain how faith and one's radiance and then being able to receive provision. These are three aspects of what I have found to be the keys to restoring femininity. And a lot of women will be very strong in two of these aspects, but maybe not the other one, or maybe have a lot of focus in her letter too. So if your listeners go and look at this graphic, it'll explain what I mean. And, you know, truth, love, and beauty are the core of creation and of my life. Mm-hmm. And so I've worked those into this graphic as well. And then, you know, you and I have talked about the importance of interdependence, where it's not that because the man is the leader, he's more important or has mm-hmm. more power. Or, I mean, there's all of these misconceptions about what it means mm-hmm. for the man to lead the household. He's not a tyrant in this mm-hmm. this biblical version of masculinity and marriage. Mm-hmm. Everything he does is a sacrifice for the good of the family and the good of the relationship. So I don't really see how. You know, of course, there are tyrannical men, and there are plenty of Christian men who don't always choose the most devotional, benevolent option when he has some choices before him. Mm-hmm. We're all fallen. We all have our flaws. And I think it's important not to try to idealize men or mm-hmm. even like my husband. Like I think he's great. If you gave me an hour, I would even have trouble telling you all the things about him that I love because I just think he's fabulous, mm-hmm. but he's still a human. So mm-hmm. he has flaws. And that's what's so beautiful about marriage, this interdependence mm-hmm. where we can help each other see like a mirror where we still are not that strong in our faith, or we still haven't, you know, we still don't make the choices that glorify the Lord as best as we can. Like, I want someone to call me out on that. And that's what's mm-hmm. so beautiful about marriage, is knowing that I'm not perfect, he's not perfect, and we're sanctifying, you know, we're being sanctified by this path of marriage that is not always a bed of roses. Mm-hmm. But when things come up, being able to communicate in a way that helps us understand each other and become closer than we were before, after the conflict, that is so powerful and so beautiful. And that's why I believe in what I'm doing so much, because like Laura Doyle, I seek to end divorce yes. forever. You know, that's my mission too. I resonate with a lot of what Laura Doyle teaches. I just wish she focused more on Christ,
I know. That was such a big turning point for me in understanding all of this, was listening, you know, after years of listening to Christian marriage book. I'm an audiobook person. That's why I say listening to books. Pretty much. I do read physical books too. But anyway, you know, I've read and listened to a lot of Christian books. And then I listened to The Empowered Wife just because a follower had recommended it to me. And I was just so blown away. And it's interesting because if you listen to her podcast, she has all these guests on who have revolutionized their marriage by practicing what she calls the 6 intimacy skills. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are Christian. You know, they mentioned that they were also reading the Bible at the time, that, you know, they just in passing, it's clear that they are Christian women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of brings us to why we really wanted to start this group. Because for me, the motivation was, okay, this book has just in the practical day-to-day ways that I am, you know, interacting with my husband and taking responsibility for my ability to change the dynamic of my relationship. Every single Christian wife, woman has the capacity to change the dynamic of every single relationship in her life in Christ. You know, we don't need Laura Doyle's book for that, but it kind of frustrates me that there is no Christian book out there that is teaching this, because, you know, I do love The Excellent Wife. I think it's a wonderful resource for understanding what submission is and can look like. But her just positive spin, her way of just, you know, it's called The Empowered Wife. And she really highlights I think if you were to rewrite her book in a Christian context, it would be amazing. Like I almost want to do it, but I won't because that's probably copyright infringement.
But you know, can I jump in and just share something really quick before I forget? Is that when I read that book, I was so happy because Issa, the things she's teaching in those six intimacy skills, those are the same things I'm sharing with my clients. And the fact that she's worked with thousands of women and had such incredible success. And you know, I can't say that. I can't say I worked with thousands of women yet, but it just gave me so much confidence knowing that she is doing very similar work to what I'm doing, and she's having so much success. And you're right, if I were to write a book, you know, it would probably be too similar to hers because these are tried and true ways to allow your husband to feel respected while also not feeling like a doormat or something like that, which is a huge misconception about this kind of work. It just creates more magnetism, more intimacy, just a more connected, interdependent, fun marriage, healthy marriage. And so I just wanted to throw that in
Yeah,
that. But
no,
yeah, if I
and
did write a book, it would probably be similar to hers because I use the same techniques
Yeah,
and
well, and that's what's amazing. Even I'm re-listening to it right now. I think the first time I listened to it was before we met. And I've just been laughing because she uses even the same phrases. You know, it's like, wow, this is just such like universal
yes,
truths.
universe. Oh, that's what I was trying to say. Yes, universal.
Yeah. And you know, it kind of almost is fascinating that it's not from a Christian perspective because it is so like you could find a Bible verse for everything she's teaching. But the thing that I think for me, the Excellent Wife gets into this, but maybe when I first read it, I just wasn't mature enough in my faith, or I don't know what it was. But I could go on and on, but we don't need to have a personal therapy session for me. But the what I think that Laura Doyle, she starts with self-care. Her first intimacy skill is actually taking care of yourself. Now she puts it in a very worldly or like again, she's not a Christian, so it's not written from a Christian perspective. But for me, that was such a mind. I read it in a period of my life where I was kind of burnt out, just working really hard, burning the candle at both ends, you know, and I was working at home. But to the fact that I was responsible for my own happiness, you know, that is a revel. I was still, even after all these years, with my values, I was still subconsciously looking to my husband to make me happy, which is a really toxic burden to put on anybody, whether you're a Christian or not, because our joy and our fulfillment should come from the Lord. It is living waters. We never, ever run out of a source of joy and peace and contentment, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is absolutely fundamentally wrong to be seeking extra fulfillment on top of, you know, because when we are drawing our joy and again, our contentment and our fulfillment from him, everything else is just a glory to that. It is such a different, I think so many of us, you know, there's a lot of conversations about idolatry and what it is. And, you know, people will accuse somebody like, you know, me or you of like idolizing marriage or making an idol out of our husband because we love our husbands and we want to obey them and submit to them and respect them. They'll call that idolatry. But the real idolatry is looking to your husband to fulfill you. And every single person who looks to their spouse to be that extra added on, my life will be complete and perfect once my husband changes X. That's idolatry. Walking around miserable because your husband isn't perfect. That's the real idolatry. And that's what is, you know, there are a lot of verses in the Bible about what happens to people who put their faith in idols. And, you know, in the Old Testament, they're talking about like literal idols, but it has so much application to us today. And I think that is, it's amazing how much joy and fulfillment and contentment you will get out of your relationship with another person when they are not the source of that. what you are doing is seeking to glorify God in the
Right,
way that you,
exactly.
yeah. And we really glorify God when we just respect the way that He designed us as women to our husbands. I think that can so often be the missing piece in Christian submission teachings, or at least were for me. Maybe I just had a huge learning curve, but it's just, you have the capacity to make your husband feel amazing just by being a woman. There's this Edith Stein quote I'm probably going to butcher, but it's, the world does not need what women have. The world needs what women are. Your husband loves you and married you because you're a woman and you're his woman. And just being that woman to him, it's so different than like, oh, I'm going to be the perfect little Stepford wife. And what's the matter? I cleaned the house and I did what he told me to do, and he's still imperfect. It's not even. The dissatisfaction in marriage is so often rooted in not in a really bad guy, but in, and yes, he has fallen. Everybody, every single one of us has fallen and we're prone to sin, but it's often from just really disordered expectations. It's amazing what, like if an airplane takes off in LA and it's slightly off course and it's trying to go to New York, it's going to end up in, Greenland. If even just the slightest bit off course when it's in LA. So just that slight misunderstanding of what it means to be in relationship to a man as a woman, we can end up in all sorts of bad places, whether that's feminism or whether that's just a really legalistic, what we often say, fundamentalist application of the scripture, which is not really based on fundamentals of scripture, because the fundamentals of scripture tell us right in Genesis, that because of the fall, there is discord between men and women, but Christ came to heal that. And it's by his ways, which really begin with humility. That's often what's missing,
Oh yeah.
you know?
I meant to share in the very beginning when you asked me about my testimony and my story. Humility was the key, because humility, what that was what was missing from my life. And along with that goes thinking that I was my own God and that I didn't need to have a savior. I didn't need to worship the creator of all things. I was worshiping the creation and myself. And I was just in a very, very dark place before I picked up that Bible, because I was just chasing my tail, thinking, oh, this book will give me the next level of spiritual knowledge. And, it's just like the garden and the serpent and the fruit. I just wanted that fruit. And but secondly, I wanted to thank you for what you said about, glorifying God with our marriage. And that's why I want to coin that term that I shared with you the other day, which is Christ-centered applied polarity. Because if Christ is the center of your relationship, that and glorifying him with your marriage is key and so important to you, pleasing the Lord, seeking the Lord, wanting to delight the Lord, obey the Lord, know God's word and live in God's word as the source of truth, then idolizing your husband can't really happen if those are the things that you are really like, though that's it. Like, that's my marriage, that's my life, sanctification. And I want my husband to see Christ reflected in me. That's so important to me. I want others to know that Christ is King, and there's no other Lord but our Lord Jesus Christ. And if your marriage can reflect that, how beautiful is that?
And the really cool thing is that once you stop expecting your husband to be perfect, because if you expect another person to be perfect, they're always going to fall short, and so you're always going to have like negative thoughts about them. When you let go of that, suddenly you see this guy's awesome. Like, especially gaining that humility when you really look at yourself in a more critical way than you've been looking at him all these years. Suddenly it's like, whoa, he's really patient for putting up with me
Oh,
all
and
this
can I
time.
tell you that that's what you gain by practicing feminine communication is you have more self-awareness about your judgment, and not even just with your husband. And I want to say something here too, because I know a lot of your listeners are not married. So I it's really important to me that everybody understands this is not just for married women. What I share, and even half of my clients and half of my followers are single. So this isn't only for the married women, but I forgot where I was going. Also along the lines of idolizing our husbands, if we have the fear that if he dies, our lives are over, that's another way that you know that you're idolizing him, because your life is not over when that day comes, if that day comes that you have to experience the loss of your husband, because you will always have your faith, you'll always have God, and you will continue to live with the same desire to glorify the Lord, whether your husband is alive or not. And before I was a Christian, there were times early in my marriage where I really did think I was, because he's older than me, so I had this fear, if my husband dies, my life is over. And that's a really, it's pretty tragic to live like that. It's, I mourn that time of my life where I really did idolize him that way. Like, he's my everything, you know? And then you're right. When men, make mistakes and we focus too much on how he's not perfect, then we're living in judgment, and that's not feminine, and wanting outcomes and looking for the bad in people and just focusing so much on that instead of their potential and the things that they do for us, that's not a feminine way to live either. And I'm sorry, I got off track of what I was
saying. Oh, no.
I tend to do that.
That's fine. Yeah, I know, me too. It's okay. We're in good company. And I was going to say, just kind of coupled with that too, another huge factor, something that I often challenge women to consider, is what if he never changes? The things that we fixate on, that we wish that they would change this or that. First of all, there's always going to be something else. I've been humbled many times to realize, oh, that annoying habit that he used to have that would drive me crazy, he doesn't do that anymore. And here I am just annoyed about some other thing. There's always going to be something. But what if his personality remains the same the rest of his life? Because it probably will be. But the reason that this is a really helpful mentality shift, I think these are just sort of like two different steps. But one is, you know, what if your husband died tomorrow? Would you have contentment and peace in the Lord? That was my big reality check, was what do I have other than, you know, I have this sort of vague identity that I'm a Christian. I read the Bible. I identify as a Christian. I'm definitely a Christian when it comes to social issues and ideological issues and apologetics. But, you know, walking around day to day, am I drawing my peace from the Lord? I really was not. And so I did not have much peace for that reason. And then the second thing too is, can you accept your husband exactly as he is right now? And the reason that is valuable is not that you have to, you just give up completely on any prospect that he'll ever grow and mature, because everybody does, but it's that, how is your attitude towards him going to change? That is when that, I love that applied polarity, or just actually applying our faith in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when they step up and become very real, that you're going to forgive him. Like, you know, if we're called to love our enemies, how much more are you called to love and forgive your own husband, who you do love and you decided to marry? So he's probably got a lot of good qualities, you know? And I think that that mentality shift, and just recognizing that if you are in a relationship, whether it's your husband or anybody else, because like you said, this does not just apply. This applies to every woman, period, not just a married woman. Because the more that I get into this, the more I realize that everything I learn about loving and cherishing my husband, it's applied to every relationship with every human being. And I find myself softened towards everybody because I'm a woman. You know, I'm not just assuming the role of traditional biblical wife, like putting on a costume around my husband. Like, I am, like, I love that term, feminine restoration. I've made peace with the fact that God made me a woman and made me unique from men, and that's a beautiful thing. But yeah, we can radically alter the dynamic. This is just a fact, whether for the good or the bad, we can radically alter any relationship that we're in because we are half of that relationship. So that's what I love about Laura Doyle. What Laura Doyle teaches is because she really empowers, truly, it's called, her book's called The Empowered Wife. She really shows us the power that we have as women to impact the dynamic, because again, it's not something that you have to learn to do. It's not like the New Age that's seeking this new secret approach, or it's not necessarily like the way a lot of Christian people might teach submission, where it's like, do these things, do all these things, and never do these things. Do you see that a lot on social media? Is like, oh, you should always greet your husband at the door and look nice and, have the house clean, and which are all wonderful things to do and
It's
can.
just not the
Yeah, it's
reality. It
just
doesn't
that
always
is
happen.
not submission. That should be a
No.
fruit of your respect for your husband, but life's going to happen. It's not always going to happen that way. When he comes home and it's messy and you don't greet him at the door because, you have a kid having a tantrum or whatever it might be, are you still going to have that submissive, soft heart towards your
Right.
child, your husband, That is why going deeper than simply these outward expressions of what submission is, you are not trying to become something you're not. You're trying to become a restored woman as God created you as a woman. So, yeah, it's a really
And
beautiful thing.
if a
And
woman has, if you know, if the word submission is still just so triggering to anybody listening to this, and you just don't want to even hear the word, say the word, think the word, I would invite you just start here. Practice not controlling your husband or not judging, not shaming, using your language in a way that doesn't make him shut down, feel defensive. And these are the things that I share in my group, Cherished and Adored. And I like to give examples of a very penetrating way to say something to a man, and then a softer, more gentle way to say the exact same thing with even more self-confidence and self-worth. I know, and self-worth is another word we could go into and explain what I mean by self-worth versus what the world says self-worth is, but just ways that still allow you to be seen and honored and all the things that you desire, but more importantly, your husband doesn't feel like you're controlling him, because there's an instinctual internal resistance that happens inside a man when he feels like a woman is trying to tell him what to do. Or doesn't think that he's capable of solving a problem, or that she thinks she knows better or is better at something than him. I mean, maybe she is better at something than him, but is it really important to make sure he knows that you're better at this thing than he is? You can still communicate what you need to say in a way that's warm and gentle and sweet and kind, and makes him feel good and feel masculine instead of feeling emasculated, which is so common, Issa. It's everywhere. Men feeling like their women don't respect them, it breaks my heart. And so for the women that want to gain the self-awareness, back to why we started our community, that's one of the things that I really would love to share with the women in the community, is ways to communicate still as authentically as possible, but not in a way that's controlling their man. And to me, that is the first step of understanding submission, is that we don't want to control our men. We want to be interdependent with them, and we want to respect them and be cherished by them. And so, why don't you? I would love for you to share your vision for the group.
Well, I just love what you said, especially as it contrasts to Always do what your husband says and never question him. And because it's there's so that's what failed for me for so long is everything I was trying to do again. We talked a lot about the problems with simply trying to do something, is I was trying to squash feelings without actually dealing with them because us having needs as women. Is that's we could have a whole conversation about,
Yeah, we
needs.
could. Yeah.
But, physical, human beings existing in a fallen world have physical needs, and men and women living in relationship with one another obviously have desires, and a lot of them are actually not invalid. The Lord does not expect you. The Bible would never admonish husbands to treat their wives as Christ treats the church, to nurture and cherish her as his own flesh, if that wasn't valuable, if that wasn't something that would edify their wives. So the fact that you are craving these things from your husband, or again, just expecting to be treated kindly or desiring to be treated kindly by other human beings, you are desiring a good thing. That is not a bad thing. You are not a bad person because you yearn for, having a disordered desire for it is different, as we discussed. But sorry that I'm answering this in a really long-winded way.
It's okay.
But that is what has been just in my life in general, not merely my marriage, but just learning to sort of deal with myself as I am and really take captive every thought and subject it to Christ, as the Bible tells us to do. Those verses started jumping out at me a couple years ago that, our salvation in Christ is not merely assuming an identity in the world as a Christian. It's not only looking to the kingdom. It absolutely is looking to the kingdom, but it is, full restoration that begins as soon as you believe in Christ. And that includes changing our thought patterns. So this was really, why I reached out to Allison and asked her if she wanted to start this group with me, because she was talking about all of this in a way that resonated with me so deeply. And it was so refreshing. And just knowing how I have been talking to women about this for years and years before I had my Instagram account, I was on Facebook talking to women about this all the time. So I've talked to many, many women about their marriages, and I know how many women are hurting, and I am afraid, trying to shove themselves into a role rather than going to the cross and seeking that healing in a real tangible way. There's so much pop psychology out there and stuff, and a lot of it, again, because truth is truth, there's a lot of validity to it. I think millennials in particular, it's not just millennials. People tell me all the time, like I'm Gen X or I'm Gen Z, and that totally applies to me too. But modern people, particularly women, or we are concerned with women. We are sort of, I think, just in the last, again, these last 3 years have been really, really crazy, obviously, and things are not getting less crazy in the world right now. But I think people are really introspective and really noticing, society has changed radically in a very short period of time. It may have this change began long before our lifetimes, but that doesn't mean that society isn't sort of, it has whiplash, I think, in a way. And there's a lot of confusion and a lot of chaos and a lot of noise, and a lot of people who grew up without stable families, without stable relationships, when the very nature of what it means to be in relationship with husbands and wives and fathers and children and your community completely changed over the last 150 years. This is why everybody my age is talking about having trauma. It's not simply because the vocabulary exists to identify what happens to the human spirit when they go through, this is a really sad fact, but so many women that I know were sexually abused as children. That can't be normal. Like, there is no way, you know what I mean? Like, that we are in crisis. And, what I see on the flip side, though, is so many people are seeking healing. They're seeking understanding. They are seeing, just like I did, 15 years ago, that feminism and just the radical social change that we have been raised with, it does not seem like it worked out very well. They are looking for they're looking for Christ. They might not know that yet. But of course, the women that we're working with, we are a group for Christian women. It's, you know, we all have a Christian worldview. A lot of the women who have joined are new Christians. So I'm really excited that they're a part of the group, and so we can be discussing and sharing and supporting one another through this holistic journey. Because what I was trying to say about like pop psychology and everything is your walk with the Lord is a holistic healing journey. That sounds really new agey, but I think we are prone to completely separate the physical from the spiritual, but the Bible doesn't separate the physical from the spiritual at all. Most churches have, you know, denominations throughout history have not at all separated these things. They are not, there is not a physical world that we're just not supposed to pay any attention to and only think about, you know, spiritual things. We're supposed to put our trust in spiritual things. We're supposed to have a spiritual worldview, but that informs how we relate to our bodies, the physical world, you know, and just having gratitude. I'm sorry, I'm going off on such a huge tangent,
no,
but
it's so beautiful. I love it. I'm just listening like, yes.
This is, you know, as you can probably tell, listeners, Allison and I both have such a passion for this. And we also get talking and we can just go on and on because we share so much of the same heart and passion for this. So yeah, just as far as our group, and I think what was really so wonderful about our first Zoom meeting, which we had 2 weeks ago, was just, I think everybody said, like, I don't really have anybody in my life that I can talk to about this. And that was me for so long. You shared earlier that, you know, you went through a lot of your conversion was just talking to people online. This is the reality for so many of us right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we could complain. I could complain all day about technology, but I think one beautiful way that God has used technology and social media, to bring us together when we do not have these communities necessarily, in our real life, or we do, we are still connecting with like-minded people around the world, literally around the world. We have an international group, which is really cool. So we just want to be there for women who are on this journey, who are also really passionate about these topics, or maybe confused, just need support and guidance, and be able to have ideas bounce back to them. Clearly, you know, Allison has an arsenal of amazing, just skills that, I mean, they have helped me so much. And I know how many women she's helped with them. And so it's not like, you know, we're just there to listen. We are also there to offer a lot of practical advice, but it is a journey that our group members have already started themselves. Cause you know, we're not therapists, or licensed counselors or anything like that. We're just women who are really passionate about this and want to be there and support other women and obviously share what we have learned, because we really only touched briefly, Allison, on the actual skills. I feel like we should have you back, soon and talk about feminine communication skills, because I know how passionate you are about it. And I just get so excited too, because there are just so many practical things that you can do, you know, when you have that heart to be accountable for your own actions and realize the impact that you can have as a woman on your own marriage. It's amazing what a difference it can make when you change that attitude, informs your actions. And then suddenly things that used to be a big fight can turn into a really sweet moment that makes you feel closer to your husband.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's not like there's no practical element here.
Right. And that's what I wanted to say about these calls, because a lot of your listeners probably have never been in a group community Zoom every 2 weeks for 90 minutes situation. So they might not really understand the structure of the calls. So just briefly, I want to share that Issa and I will be discussing a different topic on each call every 2 weeks, but the majority of the time will be for women to have at least 10 minutes to speak, share, ask questions, and ask for support. Or maybe they just don't want any response. They just need to speak something to the group. And what is so beautiful about these kinds of communities is that you might come to a call without thinking that you have anything to share, or you don't really know what you're going to talk about. Maybe you're not going to raise your hand to speak because it's not required. It's all voluntary, but you'll notice a theme in the other things that everybody is talking about, and something will click for you. And then you'll leave the call thinking like, I did need that call. I did need to hear what that other woman was sharing, because that's what I'm going through as well. And I didn't have any way to put words to my experience, and she did that. And then, I mean, even on our first call, Issa, I left the call feeling so energized and so connected and grateful. And
me too.
It was way beyond my expectation. I mean, not that I really had any expectations, but I was so thrilled, and I cannot wait to see where we go with this journey together. It's going to be so much
I
fun.
Know. Yeah.
And I get questions in my DMs every day that there's a thread, there's a theme. These are similar. The first thing I think sometimes is that this woman who just shared something really personal with me, she feels so alone. She thinks she's the only woman going through this in her marriage, and she's not. And in my intake questionnaire for my private group, I ask, you know, what are your struggles? What are your challenges? And they're so similar. These women, they're struggling. And a lot of it has to do with being able to communicate without him shutting down, or a lot of women have no idea how much judgment is in the words that they choose. And I always say, I'm not teaching a script. This isn't about putting on a costume of femininity. This is, like you said earlier, a change within the heart that's like this shift that happens internally. And then the communication and everything that happens in the relationship, that's the result, that's the outcome. But we're doing the shifting internally. That's what's important. Not, oh, I'm going to do this so that he is a better husband, is a better man, is so that he behaves a different way or does something or says something differently. We're not doing that at all. It's about changing our perspectives, our self-awareness, realizing that, yeah, we do judge. I still catch myself constantly judging because I guess what it's just, it's been conditioned into us, or I don't know. What do you think? It's part of the fall.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I'm still learning too. I would never say that I'm done practicing this. I will never be done practicing cultivating.
Yeah. Community. And our sanctification is ongoing.
Yes,
we're never
exactly.
not going to be in a fallen world. And I think it was A.W. Tozier who said that the most mature Christians he knows are the ones who are like, oh, I'm a sinner. I messed up again. Like they're the one, you know, they're not in despair at all though, but they're the most humble, you know, because they're constantly recognizing. And I had a funny experience this weekend, just really gained a lot of self-awareness where my husband was not doing anything wrong. He wasn't doing anything that would have normally annoyed me or upset me or offended me. And I was just walking around feeling grumpy. And I'm like, I wonder how many times I have completely thought that, you know, he was in the wrong, because again, like applying these skills of like thinking practically and humbly. And I'm like, I'm clearly just in a bad mood. You know, it was like, I think that, were we talking about this recently? Like those neural pathways get grooved. And so it's like, if you ever go, you know, if you ever go on autopilot, when you're driving and you're going somewhere you don't normally go, but you're so used to driving the one way that you end up, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever it is, we all do that in many different places in our life. And I think that moods or a reaction to a loved one can be very much the same, where it's just that knee jerk reaction. And yeah, these pathways do get grooved in our brain, because, and that's why, but the awesome thing is that you can really change that. And so for me this weekend, when I was clearly just not in a great mood, and I'm looking at my husband and thinking about his actions and his words to me, because I do have new habits of not judging him, of thinking about him in a far more charitable way, of not react. This is a huge thing too, is not reacting immediately without thinking to everything he says that could possibly irritate or upset me. And so in that vacuum, it's like, oh, I am entirely the problem here because he's being really sweet and nice and he's clearly in a good mood. And yeah, again, like how many times in the past have I just, been like that and irritated him and then walked around upset all weekend and thought he was the problem,
Oh my
you
gosh, I
know?
still do that
Yeah.
too.
I know. I don't know how many times if we ever have a spat and I get all upset. And so I start thinking about it, apply my sort of, recently tried and true thought processes and end up where, oh, yep, that's where I screwed up. That's where I was disrespectful, or that's where I, made him feel like questioned him or made him feel. And another thing too is, we talk a lot about men and women. I often, when I think about if I were in his perspective, yeah, I would feel disrespected by that comment too. Or, my children will say the same thing to me that I might have said to my husband, and I'll be like, oh, I completely get why, it's so easy to think like, oh, well, he's just so his sensitive male ego. 'Cause we grow up, I know I grew up with these narratives that it's basically just wrong for men to have any sense of pride, or they're just sensitive and it's just wrong for men to want to be respected. That can get really subconsciously deep within you. But yeah, just being questioned all the time is annoying. You
Oh
know,
my
it's a
gosh, Issa, we need to do part two
we do.
because there's still so many things I could say,
I
but I do
know.
need to get going. And
Yes, I do too.
I've just loved this conversation. I really pray that the Lord guides women to hear this, and maybe someone listening right now will share it with a friend. And I'm just so excited to see what we can create together with our content and our friendship and our love for the Lord.
Yeah, me too. I'm so grateful for you. You guys should know that we are constantly messaging each other. Like, I'm so grateful for you. We just do. We just have amazing conversations, and yeah. I've already gone on long enough about how much we love these
And
topics.
even just yesterday, I got tears in my eyes with the text you sent me. It was exactly
Oh.
what I needed to hear. I mean, I just was really struggling, and you sent something so simple that probably to you just felt like, yeah, it's common sense.
Oh no,
But it
I
was
totally,
exactly what I
yeah.
needed. So I'm
Oh,
so
praise
grateful.
God. I'm so glad. This is why we really need each other, all Christians. We really, really support one another. And that is what our group is for. We want to be that to other women. And I hear my boys are coming out of their room. They've been very patient. They were watching a movie in their room and they're done, apparently. So we'll say goodbye. And yeah, can't wait for part two and three and four and more coming.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening. That ran like so much longer than we had planned, but we always just have so much to say about this topic. So I hope you enjoyed, and I just wanted to mention real quick, this will also be in the show notes, but if you are single and you are marriage minded and you want a marriage that will glorify God and that is based on God's design for men and women, and you want to find a man who really understands masculinity and femininity and wants a marriage that reflects the different ways that God made us, I highly recommend the Courtship Network. This is a dating, well, courtship site for marriage-minded singles who want to find somebody who shares their values, especially as it comes to marriage. So I was really, really honored to become an affiliate for this new network because I just believe so much in what they're doing. So you can find the link to that down in the show notes, the Courtship Network. And of course, if you use my link, it helps support this podcast and website. So if you do find that and you sign up, I would love to hear from you and how you're liking it. So yeah, let me know. And yeah, again, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you guys have a very blessed week. Talk to you soon.